Lord, thank you for our beautiful media system, and we can see visually and hear the words of Scripture. And may that help it to go deeper into our hearts, we pray, in order that it might bear fruit for you. Amen. So let's continue. Just remind us, we're looking at Mark's Gospel, and we are trying to follow Jesus upwards, seeing Jesus as Lord. Second half of Mark, we're going to follow Jesus downwards to the cross and think about our own discipleship, what that means for us as we follow Jesus. And at the end of Mark, we look at Jesus' commission that we go out in mission. John, a couple of weeks ago, looked at preparing the way for the Lord. And this is a clear indication that Jesus is God. It's an Old Testament, you know, prophecy towards the coming of the Lord God. And John says Jesus is the Lord God. Last week, we looked at the healing of the paralytic. And we saw, amongst other things, that it's pointing to Jesus as God, because Jesus says, I forgive the sins of this man, and only God can forgive sins. Jesus knows immediately what people are thinking. And Amos says that only God knows the thoughts of man. Jesus calls himself, I am the Son of Man with authority. And that's a very clear reference to a picture of God in Daniel, where he sees one like the Son of Man who's given authority. And then Jesus forgives this man and heals him. And the Psalms remind us that God is the God who forgives and heals. And so this is a clear indication that Mark is giving us that Jesus is God. Some of us, when we get to a lake and we find some stones, we like to do a little bit of skipping stones. And we are actually going to skip on a couple of chapters. We'll come back next week to Mark 3. It's mainly because I think Jairus is a good Father's Day passage. And so we're going to skip on to chapter 5. And we're going to look at two Father's Day miracles very briefly. Before we look at the miracles, I just want to set the scene. And firstly, behind all of this passage, we have to know that women in those days had a very low status. And so Jewish men, they would pray this prayer. Each day they would say, you know, most blessed God, thank you that you have not made me a Gentile, you've not made me a slave, and you've not made me a woman. So that's what a Jewish man would pray every day. When someone was pregnant, they would pray, oh God, let not this offspring be a girl, for very wretched is the life of a woman. So if you had a baby girl, a lot of people would come and say, instead of congratulations, they say, I'm so sorry, you produced a baby girl, let me cry with you. So women in those days had very low status. So we have a poor, unclean woman who had basically zero trashy status. We had a little girl of low status. To the dad and the family, she was of worth. But to the general public, she had little worth. Probably the background would be, why are you bothering going with this man, Jesus? You know, haven't you got something better to do? And so in this passage, Jesus raises the status of woman a lot. In the whole of chapter 5, we didn't include the healing of a man with an unclean spirit. Jesus is dealing a lot with this subject of uncleanness. He heals an unclean woman. Well, sorry, in the beginning, he heals a man of an unclean spirit, or unclean spirits, plural. He heals an unclean woman. He touches an unclean, a dead body. In the Old Testament, dead bodies were considered unclean. And if you were a holy man, a priest, a rabbi like Jesus, you were not allowed to touch a dead body. It would make you unclean. And so Jesus touches her and raises her. And thinking about our own life, sin, we're told, makes us unclean before God. And we need to be cleansed of our sins. Sin makes us, in a sense, untouchable to God. And so throughout this passage, the gospel comes through. The gospel is actually, if we think about it, told as a sub-story in this passage. So let's look at the unclean woman. She's an unnamed woman. We don't know her name. She suffered from a chronic hemorrhage. She had spent everything she had trying to fix a problem. She's dirt poor. In Jewish law, she's ceremonially unclean, because when a woman was having her period, or if she continued bleeding, she had to stay out of sort of, you know, social contact until, you know, she had stopped bleeding. So she was socially isolated. She was forbidden from touching others. Others were forbidden from touching her. Just put yourself into the story. Imagine you had not been touched by another human being for 12 years. Just imagine never being touched for 12 years. How soul destroying would that be? And so there's this big crowd, and she sneaks up, and she doesn't even grab hold of Jesus. She just touches the edge of his garment. And Jesus, we're told, immediately feels that power has gone. Jesus notices the smallest thing. And that was something I got out of my studies. I thought, wow, Jesus notices everything about our lives, the smallest thing about our lives. He notices who's here today, who's not here today. He notices everything that we're feeling inside. He notices it all. And so Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And I think this woman thought, you know, she's going to get a telling off. Jesus is saying, going to say, "Go away, unclean woman. How dare you come up in the crowd? You're supposed to be off, you know, outside of the camp," whatever. And she says, trembling, "It was me." And Jesus replies very, very unexpectedly. He says, "Daughter." Maybe a reference to Jesus being our Father. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go, you're healed." And we've got to go, wow, wow. And I think it reminds us that Jesus cleanses us by faith. The Bible says that sin makes us unclean before God and before one another. God can't come near sin. Sin keeps us away from God. But John says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Jesus makes us clean. We're given righteousness through faith in Christ. We just believe. We don't have to do anything. We have to believe and trust in Jesus' work. And we're made righteous, which means we have right standing. It means we're no longer like this woman who's an outcast. We're now a son and daughter of God, and we can draw near to God. We can be in relationship with him. In Galatians, it says that those who believe in Jesus are all children of God through faith. Actually, in the original Greek, it says we're all sons. And that's not a sexist thing. That's because in those days, a woman or a slave didn't have status. And so Paul is saying, if you're a slave in this congregation today, God looks at you as a son. If you're a woman who doesn't have status in this church today, God looks at you as a son. You are all sons. That's how much God looks at you and treasures you. And so we are not only cleansed, we're made right in right standing before God, and then we're brought into God's family. And you see that with a woman. She's cleansed. She's healed and restored. And Jesus says, go. So the first Father's Day miracle is that God cleans us and heals us of all sin. Jesus has died to cleanse us from our sin, to forgive us, and to restore us. And so that's one of the first great miracles that we see in this passage, or draw out of this passage for our own lives. Then we have Jairus and his daughter, and the passage actually splits it into two. We're introduced to Jairus and his daughter, and then the story cuts out. We have a little bit of a scene with the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, and then it goes back to Jairus' daughter and Jesus raising her from the dead. So Jairus' daughter, in the beginning, she's a dying daughter. My daughter is close to death. In the second part of the passage, she's a dead daughter. Don't bother the master, your daughter is dead. When Jesus arrives, he says to all the wailers who'd come in, all the people, you know, in deep grief, he says, she's not dead, she's just asleep. And it says they laughed at him, which is Mark's way of saying, this girl is really dead. They know that she's dead. You know, she's completely dead. Jesus goes in and he takes her by the hand. And I love it because in Greek, it probably more literally says, sweetie. You know, he uses a term, little girl, but he's saying to her, sweetie, arise. It's a very sort of, you know, I don't know how you'd say it, a very loving way that you'd speak to a little girl. And immediately Mark says, it's not just, doesn't have to do any complicated incantations, whatever. Immediately the girl arises and she walks around. And she wants probably some food. And Jesus says, get her some food. And I thought to myself, isn't that like the gospel message? We are dead in our sins. That's what Ephesians says. We are so unable to save ourselves. We are completely dead in our sins and in our separateness from God. We're incapable of it. We need a savior. And Paul goes on to say to the Colossians, you've been raised to a new life with Christ. We haven't had baptisms in a while, praying for this, to have more. But baptism pictures our death. We go into the water, we picture our death with Christ. We are dead to sin, and we picture our resurrection to Christ. We are made alive with Christ. You see, the gospel is not just about God forgiving us our sins. It's about God restoring us. It's about God inviting us into a resurrection life of following Jesus. Yes, that life goes on forever, but it's a life now, Paul tries to make clear, of following Jesus in this life right now. And so he talks about this responsibility to live for God every day that we live on this earth. And so we have a second miracle. A daughter of God, a daughter of Jairus, gets raised to life. And God raises us, that's a miracle, from sin to a new life with him. I think not only has Jesus come to give us life, but a great conclusion of this passage has to be, again, that Jesus is God. No one else but God can raise the dead. In Deuteronomy, this is God speaking about himself, his uniqueness. See now that I myself am he, there is no God besides me. I'm the only God. Because I can put to death, but I can also bring to life. I'm a God of resurrection. I can wound, but I can also heal, God says. And so we see a healing and a resurrection. And the people looking on would have thought, oh, in my Old Testament, I remember way back in Deuteronomy, life, resurrection, and healing are put together in a passage about God. There's no other conclusion, people would have said, but Jesus is God. No one can raise anyone from the dead except God. And no one but a savior can raise themselves from the dead and come out of a tomb after 3 days except God himself. And so Mark is giving us, inside of this passage, he's talking about the worth of woman. I think he's talking, in a sense, as we interpret it, about the gospel. But he's also reminding us that Jesus is the God who heals, the God who notices, the God who raises. And so in conclusion, Jesus is the God who recognizes us. He knows everything about us. Even though there's so much going on in this life, and think of all those WhatsApp messages, blah, 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 just on and on and on, big crowds of information, everything around us, Jesus notices the smallest detail about our lives. And we can connect with him at any point that we want to. Jesus rescues us from our sin and separation to God and others. Jesus raises us to a life of discipleship and service to God, to eternal life. And Jesus begins this lifelong work to restore us. And I think it's there in the passage because it says the woman was instantly healed. And then he says, go in faith. You know, go, your faith has healed you. And so there's, I think, in two senses. She's instantly healed, but there's this ongoing restoration that goes on. So Jesus restores us. And I think Jesus, like the little girl, he reaches out his hand. We are dead in sin, but he says, will you take my hand? Will you respond? Will you be raised to life? Will you let me cleanse you from your sins? And will you let me heal you? Will you let me go with you? Will you serve me every day of this life? Will you follow me? And so the big question we have before us is, will we take Jesus' hand and allow him to raise us from the dead? Amen. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much. Two mega Father's Day miracles, that you have cleansed us from our sin and everything that cuts us off from God. You've restored us to a right relationship with God. You have raised us from the dead and included us in God's family. Thank you so much for that. And may we hold on to these Father's Day gifts. May they go deep into our lives so they transform us. Lord, help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to know God as our Father, to know all that Jesus has done for us. May your Holy Spirit help us to hold on to this reality and to go in faith, knowing that we're forgiven, restored, returned to a relationship with you. May we live for you every single day of our lives, I pray. Amen.